Heavenly Father, you are a wonderful God, and we thank you for your love to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the message of your word, for the hope that we have of eternal life in heaven, the hope that you're coming for us, Lord, and what a wonderful blessing it is to know that we are safe in your hands. And Lord, we thank you and praise you once again for the salvation that we have. Lord, as we come into your word again, just open our hearts and minds to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, we just look to you for all that we need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. As we continue in Daniel, today we're going to be looking at the vision of the ram and the he-goat. And the last time that we saw the third vision of Daniel, and we looked last week at a vision of victory. And in chapter 7, verses 23 to 28, there was an explanation of the fourth beast. And we've covered that quite a bit. And we touched on one or two verses there. And when you compare verses 23 to 25 with Revelation 13, 1 to 7, you find that these beasts, they're identical in origin. Both of them came up out of the sea. Now, Daniel's came from the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and John's vision came from the same sea because John was on the Isle of Patmos, which was in the Great Sea there. Now, Daniel's beast represented the fourth kingdom, the old Roman Empire. And the characteristics given by John in Revelation are pointing to a future Roman Empire, a world empire that's going to be revived immediately after the church is raptured out, over which the beast will rule. Now, the character of this Roman Empire was going to be one that takes on, how would I put it, takes in the characteristics of the other four empires seen in the image of the beast. Now, Daniel 7:7 told us that the beast had 10 horns. And in verse 24 of Daniel 7, we are told there the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Now, Revelation 17:12 tells us, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. You know, it's clear to us that these beasts represent the Roman Empire, and this great empire will be divided into 10 federated kingdoms, and those kings are going to be nothing more than, how will we put it, puppets. And they're just going to give all their authority, all their power, everything to Antichrist. Now, as we look at the world today, and I think it'd be pretty right to say there are a lot of countries in the world today, and they're looking for one country. They're looking for someone, some country, one head country to take control and sort the mess out that this world is in. Now, in John's beast, in Revelation 13:1, it's got seven heads. And Daniel's, in 7:20, it has one. But Daniel tells us, out of that, the 10 horns, he sees a little horn come up. And we don't see that in John's description in Revelation. Now, why do we need to understand this? And bear with me for this, because, see, the little horn Daniel saw, he plucks up, or in other words, he subdues three of the other 10 horns. That's in chapter 7, verse 24. And there's no mention, though, of John of this happening. Now, the last time we saw that this beast is against all forms of worship. Anything that worships God, he's dead against. And he changed the times and the laws of Israel's worship of Jehovah. You see, this beast is anti-God, it's anti-Christian, and the ways and actions are the same in every detail to the beast that John saw in Revelation. They both carry out anti-Christian conduct, and it's for the same time, 3.5 years. Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:5. Both beasts make war against the saints, Revelation 13:7 and Daniel 7:21. Both blaspheme God, and surely anybody with a desire, like I'm in a real desire to know spiritual truth, to understand the word that God has given to us in a spiritual way, can see when you compare these scriptures that these two beasts are one and the same. And that's why one cannot understand Daniel properly without looking into the book of Revelation. Now, God explained it to us why. Because in Daniel 12:9, he said to Daniel, he says, go thy way. for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. You know that no one is ever going to understand everything about these beasts. No one is ever going to understand completely about all the types and symbols that are in prophecy. But we can understand what we need to know for us to help others to see that the day of the Lord's at hand. And that we as believers should have our eyes heavenwards, because as Luke 21:28 tells us, our redemption draweth nigh. That's not far away. See, as believers, we are not looking for Antichrist. We're not looking for him at all. We're looking for Jesus Christ. Now listen, all believers do not agree on every single detail concerning the second coming of Christ. But all true born-again believers, those who have placed their faith and trust in God, do believe that he's coming again. Amen? They do believe that. Now, anybody who denies the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ only show that they've never been saved. Amen? Yeah. Amen. I don't want to be the only one saying it on the internet. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to who? All men. Okay? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And here's the key, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify under himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Listen, one cannot be saved without God's grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. Anyone who claims to be saved and says they haven't the grace of God know nothing concerning being saved. They know nothing about salvation. The grace of God that saves always goes to work in a believer's heart the moment they're saved, goes to work, and it teaches us there, and Titus tells us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Not just turn from them, deny them. Secondly, we're to live soberly. And that doesn't mean we're not drunk. That means we live straight lives, reasonable, well thought out lives, righteously and godly now, where? In this present world. There is a difference between one who is saved and one who is lost. There is a difference. We are to look, it tells us, for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. You see, as Christians, born-again Christians, we are born again by the grace of God, and we're told to be looking for our Saviour, not the Antichrist. Is that true or not? That's what we're told. Look for your Saviour. Don't worry about what's going on. Look for the Saviour. Now, some like to teach that Antichrist is going to be revealed before the rapture. But when you go through the Bible, that's foreign to the Word of God. That's a man-made doctrine. See, until the church is caught up and out of this world and the Holy Spirit's taken out of this earth, only then will Antichrist be revealed. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he, that's the Holy Spirit, who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, the mainstream, I don't like to call them churches, but they call them churches today, is promoting what? Power signs, and I tell you, lying wonders. they're lying wonders. I make no excuse for or any apology for that. That's what they're preaching. You see, everything about God is pure. Everything about God is righteous. Everything about God is holy. And the devil has a fake for it. Now, a theological term, they call it a counterfeit, but I'll just call it what it is. It's a fake. See, we stand assured that there is one God. He's in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the devil's fake, there's the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophets, an unholy trinity. And these three unholy things will be revealed after the rapture during the time of the tribulation. Not before, but after. Do you know, a great study to do, and it is a good study, as you get all the names of the Lord, and I know that's a lot, but you get all the names of the Lord, then you get all the names of the unholy trinity, and you just see how big a fate that is. It's a great study to line them up against one another. But now we come to the third year of Belshazzar's reign. Now in chapter 7, remember, it was the first year. So 2 years later on, Daniel has another vision. In verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, "In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai." Now, starting here, and for the rest of Daniel, it's all written in Hebrew. From here to chapter 12 is written in Hebrew. Now, chapter 1 to the very start of chapter 2, verse 3, that was also in Hebrew. But from chapter 2, verse 4, up until the start of chapter 8, it was written in Aramaic because it was dealing with Gentile world powers, the four world Gentile powers. From 8 to 12, though, it now deals with the Jews, Jerusalem, the temple, and Antichrist. And he's going to desecrate the temple. He's going to persecute the Jews during the tribulation period. And Daniel is being shown here what is going to happen to Israel in the latter days. Now, Daniel, he's in Babylon when he saw the vision, but he's transported in the spirit to Shushan, which is the capital of Persia, in the province of Elam. And what a vision this man sees. Look at verse 3 and 4. "Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great." Here's Daniel. He sees a ram with two horns. One's higher than the other one. And it begins to push. And it's pushing west and north and south. And there's nothing that can stop it. It's doing whatever it wants to do. And verse 5 says, "And as I was considering," so Daniel's looking at this, he says, "Oh, hang on, look at this. Behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake two of his horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand." See, as Daniel's witnessing this, he sees this ram, and then all of a sudden, a he-goat appears. And it's on where? The face of the whole earth. And this he-goat, he says it's got a notable horn between its eyes, and it comes straight up to the ram, and it says, "In the fury of his power, it moved with choler." And that word choler, that's an interesting word. That means a wicked bitterness in unbelievable anger. So it's hard for us to picture in those words, but you picture this, it's incredible. "And against this ram, it broke two of the ram's horns, and it left it powerless, and the he-goat just crushes it into the ground." And it says that no one could save the ram from the he-goat's hand. Look, I've seen a lot of goats in my life. I'm not referring to people, amen. I've seen a lot of goats in my life, and they do have horns, but I've never seen one that has a hand. I've never seen one that's had a hand ever in my life. And this here is telling us that this evil thing, this form of a goat, had a horn, but it points to a man, though. Not to an animal. This thing's got a hand, and this thing is now in power. Verse 8 says, therefore the goat, the he-goat, waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up four notable horns, one towards the four winds of heaven. See, this great horn that Daniel has seen is now powerful and strong, but the original horn is broken and it's replaced by four other horns. And it's pointed to the four winds of heaven, north, south, east, and west. In other words, it's covering the whole earth. And verse 9 says, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So we see out of this, out of one of the four horns comes a little horn. Now, many agree here that this prophecy was fulfilled in part, and in part only, by one called Antioch Epiphanes in 175 BC. And yes, I know I've studied and looked through the history books, and you can look him up, and he's there. And history tells us he persecuted the Jews, which he did. He profaned the temple of God in a very disgusting act. And he is a type, a close type of the little horn. But I'll put it to you, that's all he is. That's all he is. Many like to say he fulfilled a prophecy there. But I'll put it to you this afternoon, that's all he is. Yes, he built an altar to an idol on top of God's altar in the temple. History tells us that he actually boiled a pig. And he took all the broth of that pig and sprinkled it all around the temple of God. He desecrated God's temple. It was interesting, he also had the name of Epimanes, and that means a madman. And that's what he was, a madman. He forced all the young Jewish men to do all sorts of wicked things between themselves. But he wasn't the little horn described here in verse 9, because the descriptions of Antioch Epiphanes does not fit perfectly the description given to us in God's word. Now, history's great, and I love to look. My wife will tell you, I've always got history books out. I love to look at it. It's so important. History helps us with the Bible. But sometimes we don't need to go outside the Bible to know something. Amen? Amen. It's there. It's in the Bible. It's there. What we look at here, Antioch Epiphanes never cast down the host of heaven. Verse 10. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. He never did that. He never magnified himself against the prince of the host, which must be Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he didn't stand against the prince of princes, which is without a doubt the Lord Jesus Christ. And neither, if you look at verse 25, neither was he broken at the end of it without hand. Because when you read the history books, Antioch Epiphanes died a natural death at a place called Tabae, which is in Iran, around about 164 BC. Now, to prove that, if you look at verse 17 of chapter 8, so he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man. And look what it says. For at the time of the end shall be the vision. This is the end times. This is talking of the Gentiles, and that's still in the future. Now look at verse 18. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face towards the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, "Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the appointed time the end shall be." This is New Testament time. This is the tribulation. And the little horn of Daniel 8, 9 to 12 and 23 to 25 fits in with the time of the end and with the little horn of the beast in chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. See, the man of sin, the king of fierce countenance, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, are one and the same. Now, in saying this, if someone wanted to say to me that the little horn in chapter 8, verse 9 was fulfilled in the day of Epiphanes, I'm not going to let that upset me. I'm not going to get my Bible out and start tapping the pages and carrying on about it. Interesting, if you ever get the chance to go to Israel and you walk around Tel Aviv, there's plenty of people with little boxes on their heads and foreheads tapping their Bibles, telling everyone what they should do. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let that upset me too much. People that I won't fellowship with, though, are those who deny the virgin birth of Christ, those who deny the blood atonement, those who deny that the blood was for everyone who wants to accept it as the only way to be saved. I don't want to fellowship with those sort of people, other than to give them the gospel. Now, if you claim to know all and everything about every point of prophecy, please come and see me, because I'd love to know. I'd just love to know. Too many people are going around today, and it's not the word of God anymore, it's the word of Bob. It's the word of Alan, whatever their name is. They're trying to prove points that may not even be in there or true. So in light of God's word, and I say this with love, we're all dummies, amen? We are. Antioch Epiphanes, as I look in here and look at history, was only a type. We can only marry him together as a type of the little horn. You look, the little horn that Daniel saw was exceeding great. It said it waxed exceeding great across the earth. Did Antioch Epiphanes wax exceeding great across the earth? No, he had power, but he wasn't that great. The little horn waxed great even to the host of heaven, it says, and cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Now, that can't be said of Israel at the time of Antioch Epiphanes. Not at all. Israel are an earthly people. We looked at that the other week. They got earthly promises. I can't find anywhere in the Bible, and if you know, please tell me, I'd love to know, where Israel are typed or said to be or compared to hosts or stars in heaven. I haven't seen it. I know angels have been, but not Israel. We're told the little horn will take away daily sacrifices. We know the Antichrist, he rides, Revelation 6, he rides on a white horse. He's only got a bow, you know, signifying he's only bringing peace. He's not coming as his true self. He'll come into the world, and at that world, at that time, the moment the church is raptured out, this will be a place of turmoil. And he will bring about a type of peace for some 3.5 years. The Jews are going to be allowed to rebuild their temple. They'll go through their routines of their religious routines, and then he's going to stop all that and set himself up as God. And then from that moment on, one thing after the other, all hell will break loose on this earth. And he begins to prosper. Now, God tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." Now, the original language says the lie. "That they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." See, the lie is the wicked one, the devil. "Even to him whose coming is after the working of Satan," verse 9 says, "with all power and signs and lying wonders." See, the people on earth at this time, we won't be here. The people on earth at this time, they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What did they receive instead? They received the mark of the beast. or the number of his name, 666, they would not receive the truth that God sent into this world. And for that cause, they will believe the lie. They'll believe everything the Antichrist tells them, everything the spirit of Satan works at, they're going to believe it. The pleasure will be in the unrighteous one, not Jesus Christ. And there's only one little horn here, not two separate or different ones in Daniel. It's the one little horn, the one and the same, the Antichrist, the lie, the deceiver, the devil in the flesh, the imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the prophecy may have been fulfilled partly in type by Epiphanes, but it is the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the little horn points to, who will appear immediately after the rapture of the church. And amen, we won't be here. Amen? We will not be here. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The question is, will you hear the Lord's voice? That's the question. That's the real question. Will you hear the Lord's voice? Will you hear the trump of God? Will you be caught up together with the saints to meet the Lord in the air? And my prayer is we all will, amen? But if you're not sure, don't wait, because the day of salvation is today. Call upon the Lord while you can, because once again, tomorrow could be too late. All the people said?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that as we look into it, it's not as difficult as we may see. We know there's difficult passages. We know we can't understand everything, but you have revealed to us what we do need to know. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the book of Daniel. We thank you for the book of Revelation. We thank you, Lord, that we know they're the truth. Many try to just spiritualize it and pass it away as nothing but a fairy tale. But Lord, it is the truth of your word. And it is not long before we see that as a reality in our life, Lord, that we will have eternal life with you. We look forward to the day. We know it's going to happen. What a blessing it is. What hope it is to have, to know what you've said in your word will come to pass. Lord, help us to share that with others. Father, we love you. We praise you. Help us not to get caught up on things that we don't need to be caught up on, but Lord, that we just receive and give out the truth of your love and grace to those we come in touch with. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.